you kind of need to feed yourself with other like-minded individuals. It's going to help reinvigorate your cause and what you want to do and how you do things. Definitely, you know, want to suggest that you get involved and get around other like-minded learning and development leaders.
You're listening to Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. On each episode, we sit down with key industry experts to discover more about what's happening in the world of learning and development, from current trends and insights to the most valuable lessons learned along the way. Join us for a fresh perspective on all things training and the best direction forward.
Welcome to Learning Leader Spotlight, where we interview the learning leaders of today to help the learning leaders of tomorrow. I'm Shanir Mershon, your guest host, and I am a relationship manager with Training Pros, the sponsor of this podcast. Training Pros is a learning and development contract staffing company. We like to say, when you have more projects than people, let us help find the best consultant to start your project with confidence. I have a special guest joining me today, someone I've had the pleasure of knowing for just about a year now, but it feels like we've known each other much longer. He is an amazing leader and very passionate about giving back to our L&D community. I'd like to introduce you to Chris Johnson, Manager of Learning and Development at Toyota. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you so much, Shanir. I'm very honored to be here.
Of course, and we are so happy that you are here today with us. So, Chris, if you would introduce yourself to our audience, share a little bit about who you are, what you do, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Yes, you mentioned it. I'm Learning and Development Manager at Toyota. Been here probably about a little over 8.5 years. What we focus on is enterprise learning and development. As you can imagine, Toyota's rather large entity. So enterprise learning and development, and I'll just leave it there because it's pretty broad what we cover. And then some of the other targeted areas that we focus on are executive development programs, as well as onboarding, whether that's new hire or executive onboarding. So my team works in that area.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing. You know, it's always interesting to think about how did we each end up here in L&D? So I was curious, let's talk a little bit about how you found your way to L&D and what attracted you about the field.
Well, interesting story.
I'm sure.
I'm going to go back. I think I've always been interested in people as far back as I can remember. But the one tidbit that really got me going in this direction is a movie, and it was called Copycat. So I don't know if you've ever watched it or heard of it, but...
No, I haven't, but I'm curious.
Yeah, so it's, don't judge me, but it's a movie on, it's based on serial killers. Sigourney Weaver was in it, and then Harry Connick Jr. plays one of the serial killers. And Sigourney Weaver's job was just super, super interesting to me. She was a profiler. And so that just got me interested in, you know, even deeper into why people do what they do. And that kind of spawned it. I majored in psychology at Texas Tech, Tech. And then really kind of landed in elementary school after going through college and all of that. So I taught elementary school for a while and then transitioned into L&D. Kind of it was at a spot where it was easy to make a shift, a change. The district was going through some things. So I shifted to L&D because I felt like these skills that I've developed translate into this area of learning, development, and instructional design. That's how I transitioned into this world. Interesting route, but...
So we owe Sigourney Weaver, right? For
Sigourney Weaver and Harry Connick.
Harry Connick Jr. All right, perfect. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned about the transition from education into the corporate L&D space. And I know that several teachers now are looking to transition and have been over the last several years. It's a great thing to do and leverage those skills, as you mentioned. And I'm sure that over the past, you spent 8 years at Toyota. So at least in those 8 years, I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes in our space. So what, from your perspective, has been the most impactful of those changes that you've seen in the last few years?
One of the things that comes to mind is when you look at our society and how quickly things are changing and coming into play, you take TikTok into that, you bring YouTube into that. And so this whole idea of microlearning, it's still relevant, it's still significant in our world. And so that's one area. Another area is that the learning ecosystem. And so with all of these social learning aspects that we have, all of these different tools that we have, the ecosystem has grown and it's definitely more broad now. And we're definitely, you know, really looking into how we can connect all those things to really support learning for our coworkers, team members, whatever you want to call them. And driving that has been this move in educational technology. I know when I was still teaching, there were quite a few, but now, you know, looking at 2024, it's global. Like all of these ed tech companies keep popping up left and right. And then in that holistic view of educational technology, you have AI coming into play there. How are all of those things going to work together and play nicely, if you will? But AI is going to drive a lot of that. And I think that's really what we've seen that's making an impact right now. It's changing how we have to look at what we do and how we do it.
Right. No, I wholeheartedly agree. And I think that, you know, it's interesting for me. That's one of the things that drew me to this space was the variety, the changes, the adaptability that we all have to thrive in this space. So I think we've definitely seen that from a technology standpoint, especially recently. So now that, you know, you talked a little bit about what's happened, where we're currently at, where are we going? Where do you see L&D in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I think kind of alluded to it. So I think educational technologies are going to continue to grow. And with the way that AI is going to play into that, it's, I think, really going to change how we look at learning, how we look at developing. I know upskilling is the big buzzword too, and AI, educational tech, and all of that is going to start to come together a little more clearly for us. But AI is, it's definitely going to be more mainstream in the next 5 to 10 years. I know that there are a lot of different platforms out there. There are a lot of companies that have internal platforms because of security, I guess, anxiety we had. So those things are going to come into play. And I do want to make mention of one thing in the next 5 or 10 years that we need to keep an eye on is learning anxiety.
Learning anxiety?
Yeah. The way I think about this is with so much out, and we're all, you know, guilty of doing this where we're on Instagram or we go to YouTube for something specific and we end up in a rabbit hole. So you think of like, whether it's Coursera or Udemy, all these learning platforms that we have and the internal training that we have at our organizations, we can be just overwhelmed with the amount of content that we have to help us grow and learn. And that is something that just being mindful of that I think is going to start to come up over the next 5 or 10 years. Just the anxiety and the burnout that comes from the aspect of learning and everything that we have. We definitely only have a limited capacity in our brain to keep and contain everything. I think that's one of the things that's going to be coming up.
No, I think it's a fair point. You know, I was actually looking at something the other day, trying to figure out how to do something in Illustrator and then ChatGPT. I was looking and I'm all over the place. And, you know, especially if it's not great content, then I really get a bit like overwhelmed, frustrated is the word I would use. And then I go somewhere else. And so I think
it's thing you know, you're watching a Matthew McConaughey inspirational video or something.
This episode is brought to you by Training Pros, the award-winning contract staffing agency that works exclusively with learning and development professionals to match the right consultants to client projects. If you're in corporate L&D and have more projects than people, let the industry practitioners at Training Pros provide you with the right L&D consultant to start your project with confidence. Find out how we make finding quality consultants easy by scheduling a consultation at www.trainingpros.com.
Well, you know, I was thinking about skills and like personally, I was literally looking something up, right? A skill and how to do something. And so I was curious in your role, what skills or roles are you finding it really hard to find talent for recently and currently?
Yeah, I think just one, the foundational aspects of instructional design, and I don't want to throw shade at anyone, but I get a lot of folks who come in and say that they built training and it's just a PowerPoint. And then, granted, you do amazing things in PowerPoint, but it's still the foundational instructional design, whether it's relating to the adult learning theory that we have, behaviors, those type things. So as you're building those things out, that's one thing that I struggled to find. The other is good facilitators. And so I come from a teaching background, and I know teaching and facilitating, two different things. Skill sets are, you can use some of those skill sets in each. However, teaching something and facilitating something, completely different. So facilitators that come in with that knowledge or with that just acumen of how to do that, how to manage a room, how to, you know, shift and transition into other topics. Those are some of the things that we've been looking at in four that we had a hard time finding.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I've actually heard that from others, especially recently, right? With the transition to the virtual training and then now having to go back into in-person instructor-led training and facilitation and having, you know, you're on all the time and you have to facilitate, you have to build a rapport, and some of those people intangible skills, I think, are what people struggle with sometimes when we're talking about this now. Good point. So, Chris, tell me, what's your favorite source for industry news and information that you would share with our audience?
Yeah, I think some of the main ones are the same. I think that a lot of us go to everything with ATD. That's definitely one. Also, Instagram, LinkedIn, and then Training Magazine are some of the most used, at least for me. Like I mentioned, the learning anxiety. So I try to limit because there's so much out there. But I mean, there are some podcasts. You can find a number of podcasts. This podcast actually is a great resource. There are just some, you know, you want to keep it small, focus on what you've got. We use IC4P, I think is what it is. It's another resource too, since I am on the human resources side.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we attended an event recently, and you shared just even going out and being part of that local network is also a great place to get information. And I think you said it best when you said that you're wanting to see what others are doing, and it benchmarks you and getting new ideas. So it doesn't have to necessarily be tangible thing, right?
Right. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it's, I want to say this to everyone out there listening, that you kind of need to feed yourself with other like-minded individuals. It's going to help reinvigorate your cause and what you want to do and how you do things. Definitely, you know, want to suggest that you get involved and get around other like-minded learning and development leaders.
Yes. Couldn't agree more. Get out of your comfort zone if it makes you uncomfortable, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, if you think about tangibles now, so books. Tell me, Chris, what's one book that everyone wanting to move into L&D leadership should read?
One? I mean, are you serious? I can't choose one. I am an avid reader, listener. I love that we have Audible. It changed my world. But currently, actually, what I'm reading, like in my hands book that's really good, is Super Communicators by Charles Duhigg. Oh, I love it. So far, it's great. I'm about halfway through, but just understanding how to communicate and talk to people. I mean, that's majority of our job. When you think about it, whether we're consulting or whether we're sharing, here's our vision for how we want to deliver this training, or we're talking, you know, just anything, we have to be able to communicate clearly. And I think Super Communicators is a great book for that. Of course, you can't go wrong anything with Adam Grant or Brené Brown or Simon Sinek. Pretty much anything that they put out there is going to be impactful. One that I go back to often is, and this was surprising, but I heard a podcast with her, Jenny Rometty, and she wrote a book called Fifth Power. And Jenny was the former CEO at IBM. And so she gives really good insight on leadership and, you know, really impacting how the IBM learning culture happened and expanded. So that book was really, really good. And then just the last one, I know it's way over one, but it's okay.
I mean, that's all right.
Yeah. This is a super fun read for parents. It's going to be terrifying and it's going to be exhilarating at the same time. And it's called The Anxious Generation. by, I think it's Jonathan Haidt, H-A-I-D-T, I believe. But it's a phenomenal book. It talks about really the phone-based culture of kids that have grown up, as opposed to like what I grew up in, which was a play-based kind of culture. But those folks are coming into our environments. They're coming into the places where we work, and they're going to have a little different nuance to how they interact with people. And this book was eye-opening from that standpoint. It's awesome. A good read.
I think that's great to think about all full circle, right? Including the new generation that will be coming in. And so it sounds like even if you're not a parent, that book would be beneficial and impactful for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing that.
Sure.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for appearing on our show today.
My pleasure. It's been great.
I just want to express my sincere thank you. And as a gift to you for being on our show, we at Trading Pros are going to plant 5 trees in your name.
Oh,
yeah. Trading Pros company charity is World Reforestation. We've planted over 3,500 trees already to date this year around the world. And as our way of thanking you, we will just plant 5 additional trees in your name. And we so very much appreciate you joining us on the Learning Leader Spotlight podcast.
Oh, thank you. This has been fun. I wish we had more time, but I thoroughly enjoyed this experience. Thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Learning Leader Spotlight.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.